We're doing Chavetz Chaim. We're on page Kuf Samach Tet. That's the 8th chapter, the 14th halacha. What we're about to discuss is the applications of the prohibition of Lashon Hara where it is most relevant, which is within a family. And there are many situations where conversation just goes in directions that people talk about people. People talk about their uncle, their aunt, their cousin, what's happening with their brother, how their brother's marriage is doing, how their brother's doing in college, how's the... Many different things. And we very easily allow ourselves to slip into conversation that's prohibited because we feel like we're all family. And it's interesting that the Torah actually gives us an example of the closest family, Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam. Aaron and Miriam both went out all out to save Moshe's life, and they worked in unison, Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam. They worked together to lead the Jewish people. And then out of concern for Moshe's well-being and his marriage, Aaron and Miriam have a conversation about his marriage, and they're taken to task about that. And we have a mitzvah to remember that. To my mind, it's one of the most difficult mitzvot. It's to my mind, really one of the hardest things to be with family and to steer the conversation away from the prohibition of talking Lashon Hara. It's the most natural thing for siblings to talk about one another to one another. And I think it's also very natural that people tell themselves, I don't mean anything bad. I'm talking for the person's benefit. I care. Aaron and Miriam also cared. And yet they were taken to task because they crossed a certain line. It's very hard not to cross that line. They passed judgment. They didn't just raise a concern. They said, you know, Moshe is a prophet like us. And that assumption, he is like us, they passed judgment. They said he should not have, or we really question why he would have separated from his wife. We should talk to him. Well, the assumption, the underlying assumption in that conversation is, he is like us, which is an underlying assumption we often make, and it's not correct. We really don't know. We really, really don't know what's going on by other people. And we have to be very careful. Our good intentions do not allow us to talk about other people. There have to be more conditions met in order for it to be permissible. And that's where we're going to start. That is the topic the Chafetz Chaim is going to talk about today. גם אין חילוק באיסור קבלת לשון הרע בין אם הוא שומע מאנשים אחרים או מאביו ואמו באנשי ביתו. It really doesn't matter if we're hearing לשון הרע from strangers or from our parents and our family members. ויותר מזה מצינו בתנא דבי אליהו. We found more than this in the Braisa called Tana Debe Eliyahu. שאם רואה אדם לאביו ולאמו שמדברים דברים יתרים כגון לשון הרע וכדומה, it says in that Medrash, if a person sees his father and mother talking Lashon Hara, things that are really unnecessary or prohibited, and the like, levad shemuzar shelo lekabel divrehem, not only are we limited that the Torah says, you're not allowed to believe them. They're going to tell you about your brother that's flunking his classes in medical school. Either he is or he isn't. Why is it your business? So they're sharing a concern. They're going to tell you that they think your brother isn't doing a good job raising his kids. He's too strict with them. He's too lenient with them. He and his wife don't have a set plan together. They don't know what they're doing. They give them too much TV, too little TV. Too much education, too little education. Parents have an opinion about their kids' chinuch, and sometimes they allow themselves to talk to siblings about it. And that's not permissible. Why would we be allowed to say our negative opinion about someone to someone else? Even if it's a sibling. So we are prohibited from accepting what they said as factual. I don't know if it's true just because they said it. We have a tendency to believe our parents, but who said this is true? They're telling us negative things about someone else. We have to approach it with the attitude, I don't know. I can't know for sure that's true. But we also have to find a way to stop it. And we'll discuss that in a minute. Yes?
I just clarify, I understand, like, the guy is flunking his exams in medical school. Is that considered lashon hara? It's like a partial piece of information that you're just trying to convey how somebody's doing. It's not speaking.
Right, but it's something that they wouldn't want exposed. It's information that the person would rather not be told to other people. If it's true or it isn't true is not relevant. There are a lot of things that are true about me that I don't want you to know. We all have...
It's not true, right? Slander is not true.
It's another... It's right. It's another problem if it's not true. But the fact that it's true doesn't mean that we want other people to know everything that's true about us.
So we just don't talk about bad things. Sounds like the assumption.
The assumption is there have to be certain conditions met in order for it to be permissible to say negative things about other people. There has to be clear intent for the person's benefit. It has to be clear that what you know is factual. It has to be that there's no other way to accomplish this other than sharing this piece of information. There are many details that the halacha requires us to meet. Just because it's factual doesn't mean I'm allowed to say it. Yes.
In your example, what if you don't use the information to the public domain? Like you use social media like Facebook to tell everybody he failed his exams or said that he expected to fail them?
We'll get there. We will see that if a person makes information public, then there's no problem with lashon hara. We will see that down the road. That's true. The Yizahel she is a bederch kavod. A person has to be careful if he's going to tell his parents, we shouldn't be talking about this. He should do it in a respectful way. Just because the parents might be wrong for sharing that information doesn't mean we're allowed to to talk to them disrespectfully. And if a person is silent and lets them just go on and speak negatively about someone else in the family or someone else, then he and they are held accountable for it. They're both going to be taken to task in heaven for it. Now, before we go on, the practical application here is a little bit tricky. Most people, I shouldn't say most, but many people, if you try telling them we really shouldn't be having this conversation, they'll say, I'll just finish the thought. They're going to have a hard time stopping. When a person is trying to get a point across, if you overtly tell them that we shouldn't be discussing this, then they will try to finish their thought. That's what many people will do. And that's why sometimes it's better to find a roundabout way to put an end to the conversation, to change the topic. People don't always notice when you change the topic. It can be over the simplest thing. Did you guys notice that there's something very special about the soup today? People start talking about the soup. Meaning there are ways... like you can take a spoon of soup and say, wait a second, did you notice there's something different? Is this the same soup you've always made? And there you switch the topic. And you could slowly veer it off to another direction. To try and go head on is very often met with resistance. So that's one trick. The truth is that this is a topic in its own right. How to deal with lashon hara that's being said to us by parents, by people who we can't really tell them what to do or stop the conversation of our own. You guys have to tell me if we want to take the next 10 minutes to discuss it.
I'm not for that, sure.
To discuss how we practically deal with it. I'm saying, so let's take an example. Your parents feel that your brother should be doing more with his time. Your parents feel that your sister-in-law is taking advantage of your brother. Your parents feel that your nephew is on the road to doing drugs. Your parents feel that your uncle is about to get divorced the way he's treating his wife. Your parents feel all kinds of things about things that are going on in the family. Your parents feel that your uncle is taking advantage of your grandparents and getting all the inheritance out of them. There are all kinds of scenarios that happen in a family where parents feel it's a family issue and we will talk about it. And when these things come up, the question is, how do you put a stop to it? So the tip I gave a minute ago works on the moment. It doesn't work to resolve the situation long term. And I think the only way to resolve a situation long term, and here I want to take the most common, unfortunately the most common example, a person's parents get divorced. And then they feel like they're going to tell the children what's wrong with the ex, why the ex is so negative. And parents really hurt the children when they do that. And very often parents will share their pain with a child and use the child as the psychologist. And it's tremendously destructive to the child to start hearing all the negativity about their other parent. And whether it's true or not is completely irrelevant. So I think I wrote a letter about this once to a girl, must have been 19 years old. She came into yeshiva from somewhere in the north. Her parents were getting divorced, and she wasn't sure how to deal with what they were doing. They were each trying to pull her to their side. She was assisting them with the finances, and she could see where each one was playing games with the other. And she wasn't sure how she was supposed to deal. So she asked someone, and he told her to come to yeshiva. And suddenly I walk out of class, and there's a young lady who I never met before, and she says, "Rabbi, can I ask you a few questions?" I have no clue who she is. I never met her again. But these were her questions. Questions on how to deal with the Lashon Hara that parents that are getting divorced say to one another. And the guy who brought her here, I emailed him the letter. So those of you who want, I think I posted it on my website. Unfortunately, it's a very common problem, and I think there are a few very important solutions to this. Number one is a person has to define for themselves, what am I allowed to do? What am I not allowed to do? What is my responsibility? And what is harmful to me? So I am not allowed to sit there and just listen to negativity being spewed about someone else. It could be a person's mother or father desperately needs to share their pain. For that, there are psychologists, therapists, social workers. They can't afford a social worker. They haven't found one they jive with. Let them talk to the aunt, the uncle. Let them talk to someone else. It's not your problem. They have to find someone to talk to. Let them find someone else. Let them go anonymously and find an anonymous chat partner on the other side of the planet to share their problems with. But they should not share it with the child, A, because it's prohibited, B, because it's destructive to the child. And so a child has to first define to themselves, it's not my responsibility to listen to it, and I'm not supposed to listen to it. I shouldn't believe it, and I shouldn't be hearing it. We first have to define for ourselves where we stand. Before we can start dealing with a parent or with a relative, we have to be firm and understand what are our rights, what do we want, where do we want to get to. And so the first thing is a person has to define to themselves, I want to have a relationship with my dad, I want to have a relationship with my mom, and I do not want them to do this, to share this with me. It is harmful to me, and it is wrong of them. And it doesn't matter if you're age 10 or 20 or 50, it is still harmful to a person, and it is still prohibited. Let them go to a therapist if they have to get it off their chest. There are free therapists. There are organizations that will give you free therapists. Therapists that are trying to get their license will very often have to do 3,000 hours. I have a relative who's doing it now. 3,000 hours of social work. So they'll give you their time. They're looking for clients. They're looking for someone to hear their troubles. They might not give you the best advice, but sometimes all you need is a sounding board. So the first thing is a person has to define for themselves. And after that, it's good to have a Rebbe or an uncle or someone who will help you stand up to the task. And then a person has to define to the relative, I understand, I care, and I understand you're having a hard time, and I would like to ask you to respect my needs and not discuss this with me. We can talk about everything, and because I want to talk about everything else with you, and because I want a relationship with you, but this shouldn't be a part of the relationship. And when we say this, sometimes it's better to write it, because sometimes if we say it, it'll end up being a fight, it'll end up being an argument, and so therefore it's sometimes better to actually write it. And in a letter we can be very warm. Hey Dad, I love you. I cherish our relationship. I noticed that over the past few months, as things have deteriorated between you and Mom, you've been sharing a lot with me of the pain that you're going through. I do not want to take sides. I want to have a great relationship with you and a great relationship with Mom. And I would like to ask you to respect that and leave me out of your out of the troubles that are going on between the two of you. I strongly recommend you go to a therapist. I strongly recommend you find someone to talk to. It is a good idea. You should have someone to talk to, but I'm sure you understand that for me, it's very, very painful and inappropriate for me to be hearing these things. So again, an exact formulation of the letter I put online, but the general gist is a person has to go head on. And after a person goes head on, what's going to happen is very often the parents will do one of two things. They will either try to respect it, or they'll come back and say, and totally disregard it, intentionally or unintentionally. But even when they try to respect it, they will falter. And they will suddenly slip back and start sharing with the child something that went on. And that's when the child has to remember his conviction and say, I'm sorry, let's stop the conversation now. I'll call you back a little bit later because we slipped into an area that I really don't want to discuss. I'll call you back later and end the conversation. Sorry, Dad. And then they will learn that the conversation will not continue when they do this. I will call you back. You're not breaking the contact with them. You're telling them, I can't continue like this. Now, this happens not only when parents are getting divorced. It could be a person got married and their parents don't approve of their spouse. And then their parents are going to, every so often, throw a line. Does your wife get out of bed before 9:30 yet? Or are you still getting the kids ready for school and doing all the hard work that a wife's supposed to do? You write a letter, a respectful, loving letter, in which you say, look, I understand you have issues with my spouse. You're entitled to your opinion, but you have to understand I can't hear that. You probably have my best interest in heart, but this isn't right, this isn't fair, this isn't conducive to my marriage, and I would like to ask you to stop. And I will not be able to continue with these comments. You can say it respectfully and forcefully. And again, they will slip, either intentionally or unintentionally, and you have to be prepared to end the conversation. And say, look, I'll call you back later. I understand we're slipping into territory that I don't want us to go in. So we're going to have to talk later. Goodbye. And hang up. And then you call back a few hours later. I'm not breaking contact with you, but I will not let the conversation go into a territory that's wrong. So, again, these are a few tools, but this is, like I said before, this is a topic that comes up a lot. When it comes to someone like a sibling that they will often like yapping negatively about, you don't have to be so firm because they won't have such a tough time breaking away from it. It's enough to have a conversation or a letter where you discuss, I really don't feel proper talking about them and I'd rather not. And then when it comes up, you say, can we switch the topic? You can go straight on. And when they say, if they say no, then you say, okay, so we'll be in touch a little bit later. I got to go. They'll get the hint. I'm saying we don't have to be hostage to what other people want to share with us if it's wrong. There are ways of doing it that are still respectful and loving, but they hold on to the values that we hold dear. And they also teach people a certain value. In a society where people think if it's true, it's fair game. If it's my opinion, why not? If we're family, then we could say whatever we want about one another. And so we're showing people there's a higher value that we live up to. We're in the middle, but I want us to have time for our Ein Yaakov class. So we're going to pause here. And Bezat Shem, in the next class, we'll finish this piece. And the Chafetz Chaim.